From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this local and statewide news. A report co-written by former Alaska Budget Director Donna Ardwin ranks her former boss, Governor Mike Dunleavy, as the second worst governor in the country on what it calls, quote, economic freedom, end quote. In a webinar announcing the results, Ardwin says Dunleavy could improve his ranking by cutting state spending and working to change state policies on welfare and labor unions. She says Alaska's state spending as a share of the state's economy is four times Florida's.
So the spending is through the roof. And part of the reason is because of the policies, including union control, no education, the education choice, the welfare dependency is through the roof. So he's got a lot of opportunities across the board to improve his state's economy.
The report credited Dunleavy with trying to reduce spending, for not introducing an income tax, and for an attempt to end state collection of state employee union dues that's stuck in a legal battle. But it considered cuts to permanent fund dividends, which the legislature passed over Dunleavy's objection, as a form of taxation. Dunleavy's office called the report well-researched in a written statement that added, "It is no secret that Alaska has taken decades to reach this point due to overspending." Ardwin was Alaska's budget director for 9 months after Dunleavy took office. She helped write Dunleavy's first budget proposal, which drew criticism from lawmakers and members of the public. And the report was published by the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, which promotes conservative state legislation. At least 38 people experiencing homelessness in Juneau have tested positive for COVID-19 in the past 2 weeks. Now, with temperatures dipping below freezing this weekend, local shelters must weigh the risks of staying open or closing to slow the spread. Knowing that the virus spreads more easily in confined spaces, the Glory Hall shelter decided to close this weekend. Staff plan to move some patrons to a hotel for better social distancing tonight, and meals will still be available for pickup. The city's emergency warming shelter at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center is also considering whether to stay open. Staff will make that call before 5 p.m. today. The city opened Centennial Hall as an isolation and quarantine site this week. Emergency Planning Chief Robert Barr says 6 people with COVID-19 are isolating there, while others are staying in hotels.
The biggest challenge with this particular cluster is communication. It's hard to keep everyone up to speed on what the appropriate thing to do is from an isolation point of view or a quarantine perspective.
The city believes that at least one individual who tested positive is not properly isolating. And Barr says it's not the first time they've had problems getting people who test positive to isolate.
If necessary, we pursue either a state medical officer hold or a court hold on that individual to get isolation orders so that we can make sure that person is isolating during their infectious period.
The city conducted another round of testing and supportive housing sites today. Although conditions should be relatively dry this weekend, the forecast calls for freezing temperatures Saturday and Sunday night. And places to sleep will be more scarce for those experiencing homelessness. The city opened the Mill Campground last spring to provide seasonal camping for the homeless. It closed yesterday for the year. And reducing the size of the state's ferry fleet was among the cost-saving recommendations from a work group looking to make the Alaska Marine Highway System more efficient. Now the state is redoubling its efforts to sell its 2 fast ferries. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the sleek blue and gold catamarans were brought into service about 15 years ago with great fanfare.
The fast ferries had a rocky start. A defect with their innovative, lightweight engines caused them to crack, leading to headaches right out of the gate. The state sued the manufacturer in 2010, and both ferries were eventually repowered with conventional engines. And when they did work, the ferries were popular with passengers. That's because the 235-foot vessels could cover distances twice as fast as the rest of the fleet. Juneau to Sitka only took about 4 hours. But the catamarans burned far more fuel than the rest of the fleet, and struggled in the notoriously rough wintertime conditions in Lynn Canal. So the Chunega was taken out of service in 2015. The Fairweather followed last year, says DOT's regional spokesman, Sam Dapsevich.
You know, we determined that they were too expensive to operate with the high fuel usage, complicated machinery, and, you know, associated high maintenance costs.
But that cost cutting had a price. The agency told lawmakers earlier this year that it's paying more than $500,000 a year to moor both fast ferries in Ketchikan's private Ward Cove facility. The state tried last year to hire a broker to find buyers, but that didn't go anywhere. So DOT is trying something new. It's accepting sealed bids for each ferry, or both as a package deal. According to filings, the agency has set a minimum reserve price for each ship, but it's not saying how much that is until the bids are unsealed, for obvious reasons. And prospective buyers are required to post a refundable $25,000 deposit with each bid. The public notice went out on Thursday, October 15th, and within 24 hours, Dapcevich says the phone started ringing.
We've had some interest, and we are pursuing those leads.
The bids will be unsealed on December 15th in a conference room at DOT's Juneau headquarters. Until then, the agency is inviting prospective buyers to visit Ward Cove to inspect the two ferries. And it says even though Ketchikan's borough doesn't require it, it's asking visitors to please wear a mask. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
And finally, a data nerd in Juneau who likes digging through Alaska's voter rolls found something strange. Scores of apparent double votes in the August primaries, and one person who already appeared to have voted twice in the November general election. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
Will Muldoon of Juneau describes himself as a data hobbyist.
I'm really interested in all sorts of data that we put out as a state, DOL, live labor stats, power cost equalization, data points across the board. Elections is a big one.
For the last several years, he's paid some administrative fees to have the Alaska Division of Elections send him a giant spreadsheet of public information on every Alaskan who's registered to vote. It's a monster spreadsheet. There are almost 600,000 rows.
And so this year, I had found 84 individuals that had participated in the primary twice and one individual that had participated in the general twice.
In fact, the data shows that it's common for a fraction of 1% of voters to vote twice in elections, which still raises questions.
My name is Tiffany Montemayor, and I'm the public relations manager for the Alaska Division of Elections.
Montemayor confirms the data accurately shows that some voters managed to submit more than one ballot in the same election. But, and this is a big, emphatic but, those voters do not get counted twice. The division's normal procedures for logging ballots catches potential double votes as they come in, before they're counted. Montemayor says the number of voters that Muldoon flagged doesn't indicate anything nefarious.
No, there's no conspiracy about that. And in fact, there's no evidence that suggests that voter fraud is even an issue anywhere, but especially here in Alaska.
Her office sends the list of double voters to the State Department of Law for potential prosecution. A law spokesperson says the last time they prosecuted a case involving any Alaska voting law was in 2011.
They're all pretty much just on accident, and no one was really trying to vote twice. We even get letters from people who realize they did, and they're saying, I'm sorry, I totally forgot that I had already voted by mail.
Last month, President Donald Trump told supporters to send in ballots by mail, and then go vote in person in case the mail ballot doesn't get counted. Voting twice with the intent of being counted twice is a felony in Alaska.
So really, really do not do it, no matter who tells you to do it.
Voting closed in Alaska's primaries before Trump gave his problematic advice. Muldoon was still curious to hear how someone who voted twice would explain it.
My biggest one, and it's not accusatory at all, it's just a better understanding of how that happened to come about, you know? Like, did you request a ballot and then you got cold feet, or, you know, kind of how does that come about?
So here's the one person in his data set who, as of September 28th, has voted twice in the general election.
Gary Erber.
From his home on the south side of Anchorage, Gary Erber sneaks a political dig in. He voted twice and isn't even a Democrat. Then explains what happened. He voted early, and then the Division of Elections called him.
They were going to send out a replacement ballot. And I said, well, I already mailed one back. And she said, well, we'll destroy that. But
because something changed on the way the ballot itself was printed.
Montemayor with the Division of Elections says Erber's case was one of 48 bad ballots that voters accessed electronically in the general election. It has to do with a misprint in a small batch of absentee ballots sent to people in House District 28 on one particular day. Montemayor says they're on top of it.
Does that give you any confidence about election results this year?
Not really.
Why is that?
Well, I just think if they're sending out that many ballots, I think we're all right here in Alaska. Because when we get our absentee ballot, I mean, you have to go through it. You got to give them your voter number. They send you an ID before you do it. I think we do a good job up here.
Mail-in ballot trends this year aren't raising alarms for the Division of Elections. though there is one issue Montemayor is especially wary of.
Misinformation is it's a bigger threat than probably anything else with the election.
One final point. Among the 84 people who double voted in the primaries, there does not appear to be a partisan pattern. That is, Republicans, Democrats, undeclared voters, and nonpartisans, they all did it. Reporting from Juneau and Anchorage, I'm Jeremy Shea.